When you find a deal on your favorite thing in the McDonald's app and order it, does that technically count as online shopping? Save money with the app. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's, prices may vary.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Chris Carter here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I discussed with Brian Batko, are T.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith the best edge-rushing duo the Steelers have had in recent history? That, and we'll dive into some Pirates talk with Noah Hyles and what's been behind the pitching coach that's helped bring forward more of the success of Skeens, Keller, Jones, and the starting rotation. All that here and more here in the North Shore Drive podcast. Let's get into it.
You are now listening to the North Shore Drive Podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter.
Hello and welcome to the North Shore Drive Podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Brian Batko, one of our great Steelers beat writers. And as always, this show is brought, it can be found on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this channel to get all the Monday, Wednesday, Friday episodes of the North Shore Drive Podcast, as well as all the daily content that comes out from all of our Pittsburgh sports writers. And as always, this show is brought to you by the best bar in all of Pittsburgh, and that's Mike's Beer Bar. When you go to Mike's Beer Bar, you can experience one of their 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are from the local Pittsburgh area, and 80 of those local beers are available on tap. And there's always new ones being switched in and out. More on them later. Brian, I want to have a talk with you. It's that time of the season. We're reflecting. We're going over things. And I think we talked on our Monday episode, we power ranked the top positions on the team, and both of us unanimously, and I think the most of the audience and the world would agree that the Steelers' top position right now is edge rusher, because T.J. Watt is the best at what he does, and Alex Highsmith is pretty doggone good too. And so it got me to thinking, comparing to the Steelers having several great pairs of edge rushers in their time, especially since you and I have been alive, even where do they rank among them, and are they the best? Because T.J. Watt has been a defensive player of the year. He arguably could have won more. Alex Highsmith is producing at a high level. Do you see this as the best, or is there another group of edge rushers that you see that still ranks high above others?
Yeah, Chris, I mean, I think Watt and Highsmith have a pretty good case for being the best in the league right now, especially if you would narrow it down to actual outside linebackers and get sort of into the weeds with what they do with their specific positions with the Steelers, because obviously not every defense in 2024 is playing an odd front and using those designations. So yeah, I mean, they're really good. There's no doubt about that. And I think I'd have them ahead of the tandem that preceded them, T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree. One, because I think the Dupree-Highsmith is maybe a close call, but mm-hmm. the Steelers kind of showed you what they thought of Alex Highsmith by giving him that extension that never really came Bud Dupree's way here in Pittsburgh. Granted, there were some financial circumstances nobody could have foreseen with COVID, and Ben was still on the roster at that time, so it's not apples to apples, but they still invested and bet on Highsmith long term more than they did a guy who was a first round pick. But the other part of that too is I just think the T.J. Watt we're seeing now, or seeing over the last three seasons, is even better than the one who ran alongside Bud Dupree.
I agree.
For those two or three years. So you have to factor that in as well. But all that said, I'm not even going to go really get into the 90s names of Greg Lloyd and Kevin Green and Chad Brown and Jason Gielden at the early part of his career, because I'm not even ready to put Watt and Highsmith as the best Steelers outside linebacker duo of this century, because I think the James Harrison, Lamar Woodley 1-2 punch still has a more accomplished resume at this stage than these two. I think TJ is probably the best of those four. But when it comes to Harrison and Woodley, you know, not only were the counting numbers really good from those two combined statistically, you look at sacks, but those guys were forcing fumbles left and right. They were punching balls out. They were making huge plays. They were making big plays in February football.
They were.
We haven't even seen this current outside linebacker tandem do much in January football, right, at least in the playoffs. So I don't want to just boil it all down to the rings argument, but I mean, there is something to be said for the impact that you're having and that allowing you to elevate your team to new heights than we've seen the Steelers kind of underachieve, I think, over these last few seasons.
I think it's interesting to look at. I want to focus on three tandems because I agree with you. I think that you could TJ Watt's better now is better than TJ Watt in his first few years with Bud Dupree. And I think that you can kind of I can make the case for Alex Highsmith. I think he's developed to be a little bit better than what Bud Dupree was. That could be marginal, but again, better TJ Watt, I think, is what sells it. I boil it down to three groups of edge rushers if we're sticking with just the 2000s. You have this crew of Watt and Highsmith. You have Harrison Woodley, as you brought up. And I'd also throw into the mix Jason Gilden of Joey Porter of the early 2000s because dogs. They were some bad dudes. I mean, they were – Gilden didn't get to stick around for the 2005 Super Bowl, but he was just as much a part of that defensive run in the early 2000s as Joey Porter was, and Joey Porter being the face of that team. So what I did was I went back and I looked at their numbers for over a four-year period, the first 4 years of Watt and Highsmith, the first 4 years of Harrison and Woodley, and the last 4 years of Gilden and Porter, because you know that was kind of worked out. And looking at them, interesting to see where some of these numbers are in those 4 years of Harrison and of Porter and Gilden. Excuse me, they each had 30 sacks, like dead even. They just both brought it, and that's they were both pretty nasty there. For Harrison and Woodley, Harrison had 45 sacks to Woodley's 39. And then for TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith, TJ has 62 sacks, which is just ridiculous in a 4 year span, to Highsmith 29 and a half. So to your point, I think the thing is that when we're comparing all-time great edge rushing duo for the Steelers, Harrison and Woodley, Watt has more overall production as far as getting to the quarterback in just, again, that 4 year span. Part, I think, what makes Harrison also great is his longevity and how long he was just a killer in the NFL. But also Woodley was more productive than Highsmith in those years. And the other thing was, like you said, in the playoffs, there was a point where in the playoffs, Woodley averaged a sack and a half per game. And I think that's where I agree with you. If we're looking at value right now, big play values and big play times, that's a big part of what makes Pittsburgh Pittsburgh when we look back over the histories of all sports. And that's where I think that, like, hey, Watt and Highsmith statistically and even schematically in film breakdowns, they do a lot of amazing things that might make them great in those reports and that might boot them there. But Harrison and Woodley's clutch moments that define this franchise and in our lifetime, some of the best years of this franchise, that to me, I think, should hold a flag at the top of the list.
Yeah, you got to put more weight on that. And I always think debates like this, it's way more fun to just talk about best out, because if you want to get into, you know, who's had the best career, like that becomes way more of a statistical,
right,
you know, fact-based quantitative argument. Whereas I prefer to just, hey, you get the subjective measure of, I've watched all these guys and I think TJ and Highsmith are the best, you know, somebody say, I think just watching these two, if they had better players around them, if they had a better offense, you know, we wouldn't be even looking at it in this light. And that's fine if you feel that way, but I do not. I mean, I think you made some great points there, Chris, about Woodley being maybe a little bit underappreciated, especially the way he always seemed to rise to the occasion in the postseason. And honestly, like, kind of similar to Highsmith, I feel like, too, in the way they played. You know, Alex has diversified his rush plan and added a little bit more finesse for sure, but generally a big, strong, powerful guy, at least in terms of the body type. And Harrison and Watt, you know, TJ's run here is basically unparalleled in NFL history, what he's been doing. But when Debo was at the top of the game, at the top of his game, there's a reason why they called him Debo and the Silverback. I mean, he was unblockable. So, I mean, I think the margin between those two is not as large as maybe the pure sack numbers would indicate. And just anecdotally, too, I mean, we've got 17 games now. So that inflates things a bit more for guys playing currently, even though TJ's missed time, too, due to health. You got to factor that in, too. I think it's just more passing in the league even than there was, you know, when those guys were playing. Mm-hmm. So you should have some better numbers with your quarterback hits and your pressures and your sacks. So, it is fun to think about because this has been some of the very best football that any Steelers fan has watched over the last couple of decades is what they've gotten from their outside linebackers. And, you know, I give the Steelers credit for mostly finding a way to keep that lineage going with very few lapses in between. I think some would maybe still say the Bud Dupree pick was a little bit of a disappointment in the long run, but he did blossom by the end, and it just didn't work out cap-wise for those two sides to continue doing business. So, it's always fun to talk about this. And, you know, if you want to get into trios, maybe Nick Herbig will make his presence felt this year. Donnie Chedrick from 93.7 The Fan and I talked about breakout players on Tuesday's Chipped Ham in Football. We both think that he is going to do more in year two, do more with more on his plate. So,
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is one of those off-season topics that is fun to kick around. People will probably have different opinions on it. But, yeah, I've got to go with Harrison and Woodley, at least until we see Watt and Highsmith do a little bit more when the chips are down in the winter.
And speaking of chips being down, my last point on Woodley, a lot of people think when they think back to Super Bowl 43, they think the San Antonio Holmes' catch, and they think back to Harrison's interception touchdown return, which to me is the greatest defensive play I've ever seen in general. But people forget that at the end of that game, if you talk to Troy Polamalu, he says on the last play the Cardinals had the ball, Kurt Warner had Larry Fitzgerald open. We didn't get to see that on camera, but he said Larry broke free and Kurt might have hit him if Lamar Woodley didn't sack him and strip the football of him to end the game. So Woodley also made a huge game-changing play in that game that people don't talk about enough. Again, going to the point of him and Harrison, just their timeliness of their great plays play a role in both of us picking them in that debate. But
and you look at next year, Chris, I mean, Alex Highsmith had that great 2022 campaign, fell off a little last year. I think he's probably got a little bit more to prove after the money that he got from the Steelers. So This is a big 2024 for him, and it's one of those sneaky Steelers storylines that is on the back burner right now because of everything else they've got going on contract-wise. But TJ Watt, with 2 years left on his mega deal, where do they sit with him after this season? Because following tradition, he'd be in line for a new deal this time next year, if not earlier. So just two things to watch with an otherwise, like we said at the top and like we said on Monday's show, an otherwise pretty unimpeachable part of this roster.
Absolutely. I want to get to more historical talk with you about which Steelers on the roster right now are most destined to the Hall of Fame. We'll get into that talk here next in the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. But first, I want to remind you, this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in Pittsburgh. When you go to Mike's Beer Bar, remember, it's right across the street from PNC Park. It's on Federal Street. It's a great location. It's the best bar in Pittsburgh because they have over 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are from the local Pittsburgh area, spanning out across all the different amazing breweries that we have here in Western Pennsylvania. And over 80 of those beers are available on tap, and they're always switching new ones in and out, so you can always get a new experience. They have over 20 televisions, so whether you want to watch the Pirates when they're away, keep tabs on them when they're here, if you just want to be in the North Shore but maybe not in PNC Park, or you want to keep up with all the soccer games that are happening, the WNBA, anything sports, they can get anything on those TVs. They've done it. Trust me, they've got Duquesne, lacrosse games on those TVs. They'll find a way. Go to Mike's Beer Bar today and also get their steak on a stone, where you get your choice cut of steak brought to you on a heated stone. Every piece that you cut off and you press into the stone, you choose how well done you want every single bite. It's the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. Go there today at Mike's Beer Bar and tell them Chris sent you. We're back here in the North Shore Drive podcast on the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Brian Batko. Brian, let's talk about the Hall of Fame perspective here. Everyone's kind of waiting around for, Ben Roethlisberger's time when he'll be enshrined. I think he's the next big name in line there. Some people will talk about Antonio Brown in that debate, but let's get past those.
Will Hines Ward ever make it in? Will a guy about James Harrison, will he ever make it in? Even LC Greenwood as an old timer who's
posthumous,
on the fringes there. So there could be some Steelers who I guess conceivably could get the nod before Ben, but I wouldn't bet on any of those guys getting in before Roethlisberger, that's for sure.
Agreed. But let's talk about guys who are on the roster now
there's a few
who should be in the Hall of Fame when all is said and done,
or at least have a crack at it
what they're building now. I think you and I can agree. TJ Watt, if he retired right now, I think TJ Watt's in the Hall of Fame. Just the ridiculous pace.
I think so too.
Yeah. So we will put TJ Watt just at the top of the list. Just ta-da, he there. He's gonna be got a gold jacket someday. But who's next on that list? Because I think that there's some interesting debate points about who you might see next based off of what they've done for the Steelers so far.
Well, obviously George Pickens. is it too early? No, I guess no. Most of us were saying that at training camp of his rookie year. So, I think the other two guys who very well could already be in, but still, hopefully for their sakes, have a couple good years left, if not more, are Cam Hayward, of course, and the other guy who's going to be wearing the Walter Payton Man of the Year patch, who technically hasn't played a game yet for the Steelers, but Russell Wilson. So, I know Cam just he responded for some reason to one of those weird aggregator accounts on Twitter the other day about how he's got more to add to his resume. And clearly Cam is in that mode now. I think he's starting to think not just about helping this team in 2024, not just about being a leader and a mentor to the young players, not just about trying to put a Lombardi trophy in the case, but his legacy. It's winding down for him. As Mike Tomlin always says, he's got more years. He's seen more years than he's going to see. Yeah. That's got to be in the back of your mind. I'm not saying he's prioritizing that over team success or anything, but hey, another 10 sack season, that is something voters will look at. Another All-Pro season, that is something Hall of Fame selectors will look at. And he's already got quite a few of each on his ledger. But, the more you can do, the more it's going to maybe help put you in Canton someday. And You know, I think one of the tough things that works against Cam is just that he did play in Aaron Donald's shadow, so to speak, for so long. I mean, and not just Cam, but every interior D lineman who shared the league with AD while he was in it are never really going to be seen as like the top dog at their position at that time. So still guys like Cam and Chris Jones have been really productive, absolute game wreckers, and you can't just compare everybody to maybe the best that's ever done it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing here is that Aaron Donald, when you have that standard next to him, it makes everyone else pale in comparison. And again, that's Cam Hayward, who I think has kind of had a Hall of Fame resume. When you looked at his longevity with the Steelers, the amount of sacks.
You look at some of the other D linemen who have gotten in recently, and it's a difficult position to always assess because, you know, and Cam always says this too, there's so much that goes into it that the, non-coach or non-scout or non-player eye doesn't always see. But I mean, you look at guys like Bryant Young, Richard Seymour, who have been elected in recent years, and I don't think, you know, numbers wise, Cam is not chasing either one of those two. So yeah, I mean, it's a difficult one. And he also sort of DN, D tackle people,
right,
you know, view what those guys do pressure wise differently. And he's kind of fought for a lot of his career. You know, it's not like anybody's putting five technique or three technique on their Hall of Fame ballot. So that's another thing that makes it a little bit tricky for him too.
No, absolutely. I think there's a lot of things that are tricky about that. Just going over some of those names, some of those names that you brought up. I did a list of the top of six guys: Aaron Donald, Warren Sapp, Bryant Young, Cameron Hayward, Chris Jones, and Richard Seymour. Cam Hayward ranks fourth in sacks there, 80.5, above Chris Jones and above Richard Seymour. Now, Chris Jones is also 29, so he's probably going to add quite a few more to that list at some point.
So that helps him.
What'd you say?
Bryant Young played forever for the Niners, so that also helps him.
Exactly. So that's another part of this compiling there. And then here's the other thing about that. As far as that list, Cam Hayward leads them all in tackles, which is kind of crazy when you
that's think. A big part of what he's done too. I mean, anybody who's actually watched him and not just looked at the box score, I mean, the guy pursues the ball
relentlessly,
really any other D tackle I have seen in my life. And it speaks to how hard he plays. And, you know, unfortunately that sometimes that motor can lead to some wear and tear. And we saw the injuries take their toll last year. It's very difficult to stay healthy as long as he has in his career. But, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It'll be an interesting case for Canton when Cam gets his chance.
Absolutely. He also is second most in tackles for losses, only behind Aaron Donald. And these are just entire careers for all these guys, Hall of Famers and such. But let's get to some other players here, because Cam's an obvious one. Minka Fitzpatrick. Is Minka in now, or does he need another All-Pro season, two more All-Pro seasons to be in that conversation? Because I think he can make the case he's been the best safety in football for the most of his career that he's been with the Steelers.
I don't think so. I think it's too early to start having that discussion about Minka Fitzpatrick. I mean, Russell Wilson's another interesting one.
I was going to get him next. You know,
has one of his ring. You know, has a ring, so that always helps the quarterbacks and. In their arguments, he's been right up there at the top of the league at quarterback, you know, when he was at his peak. But he's another guy who might have to do a little bit more work. This might not just be a riding off into the sunset soft place to land for him. He's probably thinking legacy too now at age 35 and going to be turning 36 during this season. And if he can, you know, recover sort of perception wise after a rocky two seasons with the Broncos and show, hey, I'm still that same guy who did it with the Seahawks. I can have the longevity that some of my quarterback peers or, basically predecessors had, then I should very well be in the Hall, even if I don't hoist another Lombardi.
In passing numbers wise, going with Russell Wilson here, he has 43,653 as of right now. That's 19th all time. And more people are like, oh, 19th. Well, yeah, that's Hall of Fame. Not so fast, because That is just slightly behind Joe Flacco, and we could debate whether Joe Flacco is a Hall of Fame quarterback. That's only 4,000 yards ahead of Kirk Cousins and Derek Carr, and only 5,000 ahead of Andy Dalton. And I don't think anyone's making the case for them to be Hall of Famers just yet. So to your point, I think, you know, what people might say is, well, that's the same. That's more than Dan Fouts, more than Joe Montana, more than Johnny Unitas. Yes, but they played in different eras that weren't as pass friendly as this era was. And I think that that's going to be taken into account. I think Russell Wilson needs to get up there a bit further, because you look at other guys who are still playing right now. Matthew Stafford, 11th right now all time with 56,000 yards. Aaron Rodgers, 9th all time with 59,000 yards. So that's 13,000 and 16,000 more yards than Russell Wilson has right now. But to your point, another ring might be the thing that gets Russell Wilson a bit more claim to a Hall of Fame career. And Russell Wilson has talked about he wants two more before he retires. Granted, who hasn't won two more Super Bowl rings at any point in their career, whatever. But if Russell Wilson can find that magic, whether it's with the Steelers or someone else, if he can, you know, have the play where he throws the game-winning touchdown instead of the game-losing interception in the Super Bowl, I do think that that could put him in that conversation. I don't know if he's there yet. I think that he might even be, like, the stage that he's at, he's kind of a latent stage Hall of Fame inductee. Like, he'll be at the back end of his, like, eligibility before he becomes like a senior player, before I think he gets let in, because there's so many quarterbacks in this era.
There are, but I think he's going to make it because of a couple things you overlooked, Chris. The rushing, he did so much with his legs, especially in Seattle, of course. And, you know, that was in a run first offense, but he made it hum and they won so many games. Now people could look at that one of two ways. He was either along for the ride or he was a driving force in that. And that's why his, you know, yardage numbers aren't at a Kirk Cousins type clip. But then the other thing is just how much success he had in the playoffs, how good he was in the playoffs, you know, making
it very clutch,
right? Making it to another Super Bowl. And, you know, obviously that pick is one that, you know, he and everybody else in Seattle wants back. But, yeah, he was a big time player as well. Really good, postseason numbers that, you know, somebody like Stafford outside of the one run with the Rams also doesn't have. So, yeah, I think Russ will get in. But everybody listening and watching to this is hoping that he will get in because he's bolstering his resume by what he does this year and maybe beyond in Pittsburgh.
Absolutely. Brian, thanks so much for joining me here in the North Shore Drive podcast. We got to switch topics to Noah Hyles and the Pirates and what's been going on there. He had a one-on-one interview with the Pirates pitching coach. I want to talk about that one-on-one and what's been behind the molding of what has been maybe the best starting rotation in all of baseball. That and more here in the North Shore Drive podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Stick with us. We'll be right back. We're back here in the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter. We switch topics to the Pittsburgh Pirates. We've got our great beat reporter here, Noah Hyles, who's been on the scene. And Noah, you had a really cool article that came out this morning, this Wednesday morning, talking, you know, one-on-one with Pirates pitching coach Oscar Marine. And he has one of the most dynamic groups in all of baseball right now. And I thought it was interesting some of the things you pulled out of the conversation there that to reveal, like, hey, what's gone into
this episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
What was your general feel getting a one-on-one with him and how he's helped cultivate the success we're seeing on the mound for the Pirates?
Yeah, I had a couple of takeaways from our conversation. The first one was, their plan for the season has gone pretty well when you look everything over. And I primarily mean with Jones and Skeens. I you can recall the frustration for some when Skeens was only throwing three innings in March. You know, why are they babying him? Why is he not in the big leagues? Well, now you have your answer. Look at what he's doing now, and their progression plan worked perfect. And if you read the article I wrote last weekend, Skeens, should he make a start on 5 days rest every time for the remainder of the year, that'll bring him to 14 more starts on the year, which would take his innings count right around 155, which is basically what you would want him to see based off his workload last year. So they kind of mapped this out perfectly with him. And Jared Jones is a little different. They're going to need a couple more rest days with him. But overall, I don't think you could have mapped this out any better. So I was impressed just originally with how the scheduling has worked out. But to learn that scheduling is only a small part of it, that a lot of their decisions of when to get these guys rest, when to build in an extra bullpen day or a spot start or things of that, comes from just conversations. It's not just numbers of, hey, this is when we threw this guy last, blah, 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 blah. It's more, how are you feeling? And what is the stuff telling you? You know, every time you ask a 22-year-old who's uber competitive and talented, they're going to say, hey, I feel good. But they're tracking their pitches. They're saying, okay, well, in the sixth inning, your slider had a lot less spin. So that shows that maybe you are getting a little tired or this or that. And they're able to go off of that information to determine when is the necessary time to slow these guys down a little bit, give them some extra rest. And they're going to keep doing that to guide them through the season. So that was the first big takeaway I had. The second big takeaway was how bullpenning, a word that kind of makes, you know, a lot of Yinzers upset, made this team better. You look, they went through the entire month of June without a fifth starter until the final weekend series when Martin Perez came back. And their decision to go with bullpen games in that spot led to improvements for multiple people. Most notably, it allowed Luis Ortiz to get stretched out to a length where he can become an additional starter for this ball club. And he looked pretty good in his last start. He only allowed one run in six innings against the Cincinnati Reds. But it also led to Kyle Nicklaus getting more high-leverage situations late in games because they burned through a couple of other bullpen arms. It also led Carmen Majinski to get a lot better. A guy allowed seven earned runs in his first four outings of the year. He's been lights out since. He has a 1.08 ERA since May 31st. And the bullpen games helped him do that. And Oscar kind of just talked about how more use of everyone in different roles and putting more importance on guys that didn't have a lot of importance toward them earlier in the season forced everyone to step up and made the collective pitching unit better as a whole. And that's where my third big takeaway from this piece goes, is that it really feels like this is a group that's invested in each other's success. We've written about how Jared Jones and Mitch Keller and Paul Skeens and Bailey Falter compete with each other to see who can go deeper in ball games, to see who can be more efficient in innings, to see who can get more strikeouts or everything like that. But it is truly a collective thing where there have been multiple reports from us on a guy telling us, hey, you know, this pitch that I'm throwing 20% more this season, I stole that from Mitch Keller, or I learned this from Colin Holderman, or I learned this from Aroldis Chapman. That's very positive to hear.
Yeah.
For, you know, a young team, and when it's working, you know, if someone said, oh, you know, I copied Paul Skeens' fastball, but they only throw 89 miles an hour and their fastball is getting hit 450 feet every time they throw it, then that's not a good thing. But the fact that they're helping each other out and this assistance within the actual team is producing better results, it shows that this pitching staff as a whole is in a very good place right now.
One thing that always fascinates me in baseball in general, not just with the Pirates, but it's the pull and tug of art versus science in how you manage, when to use guys, what to do with guys. Like, we pull this guy after so many innings because that's just what the rule is. That's what the analysis says. Or no, we're sticking with this guy because I know these guys better than these numbers do. And that's really fascinating about reading about what Maureen was saying here about, like, hey, you know, listening to guys say I'm fine, but also knowing, hey, these guys are, they're killers. They're out here to be the best. They want to prove it every single day. So you have to take what they're saying, but bring it into this scope and then put it into this giant plan where you're working with that fifth spot, with that fifth spot, where you're trying to put a bullpen day in so that you can use Skeens one way, but use Jared Jones another. That's fascinating to me. And that seems like a real talent the Pirates have on their pitching staff there to be able to balance all of that.
Yeah. And I mean, it takes a coach who truly knows his players, right? If this is a guy who's disconnected and these guys don't trust him, he's not going to get honest feedback. But this is a guy who, and I think I included this quote in the story, he knows the questions to ask to get the answers they need. And not in the sense where he's getting answers that they want to hear one way or another, as in like, I want you to say yes, so I'm going to keep asking you questions until you say yes. But more, I want you to give an honest answer, and I know we have information that will get an honest answer from you. And that balance, as you pointed out, Chris, to using data, but also being a person and not just saying, hey, this is what our algorithm said, this is what's happening. That's very common in baseball for a lot of organizations, and that can turn players off, and it can sometimes backfire. We've seen it backfire on the biggest stages of the game.
World
and
Series.
Being able to blend that feel of, look, you know, traditionally it would go one way. But guess what? Paul Skeens isn't a traditional talent. He's maybe a little different than most of the people who play his position. Same can be said for Jared Jones. So the way they're approaching this, and again, Charrington said this, Shelton said this, Marine said this, there's no proven successful way to do this. If you go look through history, there are success examples, there are a lot of failures, but every individual is different. So there's no, you know, golden ticket road to get this right. But based off of what they've done so far, it looks like they have a plan that's working for them.
Absolutely. Go read Noah's story on the one-on-one that he did with the Pirates pitching coach Oscar Marine. It's fantastic. It gets you a really insight into the guy who's been behind the great rotation. Before we go, Noah, I wanted to give you a chance to kind of clarify to the audience about the other article. It was a breaking story that happened last night, and then there were some developments that you've covered. Could you explain the situation with outfielder Joshua Palacios?
Palacios, yes.
Palacios, thank you.
I'll keep it brief. Last night, we were informed by multiple sources that it was the Pirates' intention to promote Palacios, a guy who played 91 games for the team last year, hit 10 home runs, drove in 40. He's been injured for a lot of this year in AAA. He's only played 21 games, I believe, for AAA Indianapolis, where he's hitting over 300. But we were told that this was what the club intended to do. That's what we reported. What we reported was from a very reliable source who's been right pretty much, sources, I should say, who have been right. But as things happen in our world, things change. And from the time that we were informed that this was happening to the time that it was reported to not long after it was reported, things changed. And we've learned this morning that Palacios will likely not be promoted to the team anymore due to some factors that occurred Tuesday evening. We're not able to go into the specifics of those factors, but some things unfolded Tuesday evening that led the Pirates to no longer officially promote Joshua Palacios. There was a plan for that to happen, but that plan did not go through due to some things that happened Tuesday evening. So no roster move yet. I wouldn't rule out Palacios getting promoted sometime in the near future. I just think that they're waiting to see how a couple of factors play out in these next days.
Absolutely. Great reporting on your part, getting it in the first place, then also being able to follow up on it and stay in tune with it. And if you want to stay in tune with Noah and Andrew's reporting, you got to subscribe to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, post-gazette.com. Noah and Andrew covering the Pittsburgh Pirates. They lost their game to the Cardinals on Tuesday, but they got a huge series this week. We talked about earlier this week about how it's important, not just for this series, but the next overall nine games after it. how they bounce back about that. We'll cover more of that on Friday after the 4th of July, seeing where they are in that. Noah, thanks for joining us here on the North Shore Drive podcast. Thanks also to Brian Batko. Happy 4th of July to everyone out there, and we'll see you Friday here on the North Shore Drive podcast. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all the sports coverage from the Post-Gazette that we have to offer, visit post-gazette.com.
When you find a deal on your favorite thing in the McDonald's app and order it, does that technically count as online shopping? Save money with the app.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's, prices may vary.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.